Two extremely talented gentlemen join us for our latest episode of Soundtracking, better known for their work in fields other than cinema. But in Benjamin, writer-director Simon Amstow and composer James Wrighton of Claxon fame have collaborated on a film that is tender, moving and also very, very funny. Starring Colin Morgan and Fenix Brossard, Benjamin tells the story of a filmmaker who is forced to confront life's big questions as he embarks on a relationship with a charismatic young musician. The bittersweet tone is captured beautifully by James's pared-back score, of which plenty more shortly. Before that, a word from our good friends at Beer 52, who are offering you free craft beer. All you've got to do is head to beer52.com/soundtracking to claim your case. Now, Beer 52 is the world's most popular monthly craft beer discovery club, searching out incredible and exclusive small batch beers from the world's greatest breweries and bringing them back for their members. Each month, they have a theme, with March it's all about the Six Nations Rugby Championships, and as part of Beer 52's Rugby Nation case, you can try craft beers from each of the six countries' greatest breweries, including England's 5-Point Juicy Pale Ale, Italy's Aura New England IPA, and Ireland's White Hag Little Fawn Session IPA. Now, whether you're a regular beer drinker or not, this is really all about flavour. You'll also be able to read all about the beers and learn more about how they're made in the 100-page Ferment magazine included in your box. Now, you can try your first case for free. Just got to pay the £5.95 postage. So that's 8 incredible craft beers, Ferment magazine and a snack delivered next day shipping. Now, there's no minimum commitment. You can just take the free case, try the beers and see what you think. If it's not for you, you can pause or cancel any time. Just visit beer52.com/soundtracking to claim your free case today. That's the word beer followed by the numbers 5 and 2. And so to Simon, James and the music of Benjamin. Now, as I mentioned, the score is a restrained affair driven by piano and cello, as demonstrated by the main theme, which recurs in subtly different forms throughout the movie. Simon and James, welcome to Soundtrack, and it's wonderful for you to be here.
I agree.
This is great because I think that, I want to talk about this wonderful journey that you're taking into filmmaking, which is very exciting, and congratulations on Benjamin. I think it's awesome. But to be able to talk to the pair of you about this relationship that developed on this film and working together, really quite intrinsically together, how did you guys start working together, first of all?
I can't remember. What was the beginning? We'd met a couple of times.
Yeah, I think we met about 12, 13 years ago. I was thinking that before I got here, I was like, where did we meet? And I thought we met at some kind of a chair party, but it was it was at some party. We met.
I think we were both quite awkward.
Yeah.
Didn't feel we should be at the party. And so, do we make fun of all the people at the party?
Yeah, we classic. Probably did. Awful.
Yeah. And then maybe left.
And then we met on a film set.
Yes.
That was it.
Just when I started thinking about making films and really properly directing stuff, I thought I should be on a few film sets. And when I was in New York doing some stand-up, James came to see the show that I did. He said that he was on the set with his wife the next day. I said, can I come and watch that shoot? And what I discovered, and I can't tell this story.
No, why not? What happened?
Can I tell the story?
Yeah, of course.
Tell it, and then if you don't want me to include it, then
okay. You can decide.
Yeah.
Well, because I was thinking, God, a film, to direct a film, that is going to be a thing. That's, you know, I'd written for television.
Yeah.
And, you know, I made a sitcom, and, I'd played a role in directing that I didn't direct it, but, you know, I had an idea of how that should look. And then I got to this film set, and nobody liked the director, and the script was maybe the worst thing I'd ever heard out loud. And I thought, wow, I think I can do a bit better than this.
Can I think I think you can.
Okay.
You didn't say what the film was.
I think I know.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
You might have mentioned someone else who's in the film about 3 minutes ago.
Off air. We did, so that's fine. I think, yeah. I'll text my wife in a bit and to see if... Just, okay. Yeah, but I think it's fine.
Fine, there you go. So hang on, but what's the thing? Just because you can't use...
Where it then turned into a working
relationship. Oh, yeah, then... So then... Oh, no, was it first that I had a short film and needed a score?
That was when we were William.
Yes,
yeah.
That happened. And then you had a music video that needed a director.
So Simon did that. And then we went for an Indian meal. I remember this. Mm. And you said, would you do music to a film that you were writing, mm-hmm. Benjamin.
Yes.
And then you came around my house and we started writing songs for the film.
Did you write the script before then or not?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah. No, I had... He sent it. He sent me the film.
This was 20 years ago.
Like, it feels like...
You know.
Well, because the film, it was on and... Can I even say that? It was happening and then it stopped happening.
Yeah. Yeah, we had the funding and then didn't have it anymore a couple of years ago. That was very upsetting.
Well, this is the journey that you kind of go through as a director, you know, when you are starting out. And I hear this, you know, not to kind of drop name stuff, but Richard E. Grant had a similar thing as well, and it's kind of like, you know, even someone like that who's been in films for 40 years mm-hmm. still has problems financing films. It's a fascinating insight into how the industry works.
I guess they're quite expensive. That's the problem.
Yeah. I remember getting very excited reading the script. Mm-hmm. Simon came around. We wrote the songs for Noah's band in the film, or we wrote one of them. Mm-hmm. And then we probably did another one, I think. And then we left it and I met the producers and it was all, yeah, this is actually going to happen. And then it went away. And then about a year later, I think you called me and said, oh, yeah, it's happening now. So we had to write another couple of the band songs in the film. Yeah, that was it, really. But it was fun because we were doing the band songs. It was amazing writing them because Simon would be writing the lyrics and coming in with little sketches as well of ideas for some songs. And then I was just trying to help Simon fulfill his dream or his, you know, that sounds awful. And I did.
This is the thing, because the film is so poignant. It's funny. It's kind of... It's just honest. That's what I really love about it. Like, you feel like you're just watching real life because it is kind of the way it's captured, the score, the songs, the characters and stuff. So was it an easy thing for you to write? And I know that when people write, there's always an element of themselves that is put in there. But how much of the characters are from your point of view and from you?
Well, Benjamin is probably me in my 20s when I was trying to figure out. Well, I suppose writing it was a way of figuring out what was wrong with me. And I think I figured out that I was somebody who was ultimately seeking love from an audience because I was too terrified of intimacy. I didn't know that was the film when I started writing. I thought I was just writing out bits of dialogue from relationships that I'd been in during my 20s and trying to figure out once you start writing the other person as a character, you realise that they weren't insane. They had to deal with you. And then when it came to writing the songs, very luckily, I'd been on some kind of intense drama course the weekend before we first got together. And the whole thing was about really finding your wound so you could go to that deep place in yourself. Basically, everyone was just crying in the room. It was just a weekend of crying. But this teacher, who was really amazing, Roberta Wallach, got me to... Yeah, good name. And she decided that... I don't know if I should go into the full details of it because it's all quite personal, but she got to what was really wrong with me. And then we had a writing session the next day and I said, I know what this song's about. It's kind of abstract in the end in terms of the lyrics, but it's kind of about, I think that first song that Noah sings is about, I think it's about divorce and not wanting to leave your mother for the weekend where you have to go and spend time with... Don't make me go. That's about don't make me go and spend time with my father.
I used to cry, now I shut my eyes till I hear you cry. So I won't cry. I needed to hold me, someone to fit me. I need to keep you alive. And I don't wanna go if you don't come. I don't wanna leave you here with him. Don't make me go. Don't make me go. And I don't wanna go if you don't come. I don't wanna leave you here with him. Don't make me go. to make me go. But you're braver than you think you are. I can meet the monster once a week. Just you and me, and I am all you need. All I need. And I don't wanna go if you don't come. I don't wanna leave you here with him. To make me go. To make me go. And I won't ever go if you don't come. I won't ever leave you here with him. To make me go. To make me go.
Had you written songs before?
No. It's very easy, isn't it?
It's easy. It's easy. It's,
yeah, they're so short.
But that's the interesting thing about, and what is really nice to talk to you guys about, is about the music has different functions in the film. You have, you know, this character, Noah, who's the lead singer in a band, so he needs music for his band. But then you have this beautiful, really gorgeous, intimate score as well that's kind of going through it. And did you write both sides of it at the same time? Were you writing it all at kind of once?
Well, I mean, we did the four songs together, the band songs, or two, I think two of them, or and then we needed an extra one for another scene at near like halfway through the filming.
Yeah, I suddenly called James and said, there's a scene outside the club night where Benjamin and Noah meet, and I think you would probably hear some music coming from inside. Can you write another song?
And it was just like, oh yeah, and with drums and so on. There was no studio, and it was just like, but it was all good. It all worked out in the end.
And we made it very muffled. Yeah. So it was really a good song.
But it was, wasn't it? We really muffled it. More reverb. But basically, Simon, I said to Simon, send me the first cut that you do, or as early as possible, and without a temp score. So just put music on the screen where you want music.
The word music.
Write the word music. Yeah. So then I just started making sketches of things and sending them to Simon. Some were more, I don't know, cooler would be the word, but like, I remember sending you one with an organ and a drum machine, and then it was more like Trainspotting vibes.
Yeah.
And then others were more, I would just keep sending things and then say, we're completely open and honest with each other about these things. So he'd say, you know, don't like that, like this, more like this. And in the end, it was kind of finding a palette of sounds that fit the film, really, which kind of ended up becoming the piano and the cello, the acoustic guitar, and, you know, nothing too grand. It wouldn't fit the film, that it had to be kind of, and also just because the dialogue's really good, I didn't want to get in the way of it.
It's almost as important as getting the music right as knowing and kind of being brave and not using music as well. In terms of that role for you as a director in this, of crafting that whole thing, was that an easy, was it obvious for you of kind of how that would work?
Not always. And sometimes we'd, James would write something because I'd feel nervous that there was this gap where Benjamin's running up the stairs to see if Noah's still there. And, you know, James would write something very beautiful and appropriate, and then somebody would say, or maybe even you would say, actually, of course, I've written something wonderful, but maybe you don't need it. We'd take it off again, and then it actually would be more powerful without it. The thing, when it came together for me, because I my feeling with everyone is I should just say, you're really good at this. You've won awards for music or costume, whatever. Just to go nuts. And then I'll have a think about what I feel you've done. Yeah. And so James just went nuts for a while, and there was no...
It was.
And it was good. It was great. And he came back with stuff that it was horrible. But... then there was a moment where it kind of crystallized where you said something like, I think the score is an extension of the piano lesson that Noah gives to Benjamin in that particularly intimate scene. Because the whole film, and I thought, oh, that's it. Because the whole film is Noah teaching Benjamin to let go of this idea of himself that's keeping him trapped. Yeah. And once you said that, I felt very relaxed.
Oh, that's good.
Wait, where's D minor?
Just move your first finger down one key. Yeah,
there. Yeah. That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then, that's B minor.
Yeah.
Okay, right, this is all making sense now.
Okay, so play it again slowly and think of something sound. Good. Really good.
Okay, and I play Vanessa Carlton.
In terms of you writing this type of thing and being involved in writing music in a different way, where you're almost kind of given an assignment in a way.
Yeah.
It's a different way of writing
what
music.
What do they call it? Not gun for hire.
Genius?
Genius, that's it. Yeah.
He's the director.
Yeah, I know.
Is it easier or is it more difficult?
You know, I'm not writing music for my... I learned quite early on that it's not for me. I'm like a small cog in a bigger picture, and I've just got to make Simon as happy. If I get the emails back when I send a sketch of an idea that say, yeah, this is the one, I feel happy. And I'm like, yeah, I've got to do more of those. So I just work... I work very fast and work. I'd send quite a lot. I think it was probably quite overwhelming at times. I think Simon would be in the edit and I'd send 10 little sketches of ideas of melodies or what it could be, and I was just hoping to get some kind of a positive reaction from someone. I mean, to be honest, my wife said when I started, she said, you know that the composer is the first person to get the sack from a film set.
Oh, thanks.
So I said, throughout the whole process, I was just hanging on for dear life. Even when I think it was the screening at the BFI, the festival, I still I was waiting to sit down and watch the film and my score wasn't on it. It would be something other.
You're lucky that he did the no temp score, because from speaking to so many composers for the show, it's like their bugbear is the fact that, you know, directors will temp score a film. Can you just do something that's a little bit like that?
And it's always like the Gladiator soundtrack or something. I actually was lucky because I've got a few friends who work in film. I wouldn't say I do this for a living, but this is the thing that I now do. But I asked a few friends and they said, yeah, just don't. Make sure if you can, don't put the temp score on, because it can really distract and you end up just doing a pastiche of the temp score. And I recorded the whole soundtrack at home, basically. It was all done at home with friends and kind of, it was very intimate. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the main thing about it. Like, so there's creaks on the piano, there's little noises and stuff. And it felt like that was necessary in the making of the soundtrack. It didn't need to be grand or anything too overblown or overstated or pompous. It was like, it's a very intimate film about learning to love oneself, maybe.
Comes in and out of there, and it almost like it's so clever in the way that the piece of music and the way that it alters and changes and grows is the same, mimicking the growth of Benjamin.
What was the question?
No, it wasn't really a question, it was just an observation of the fact that it's really clever in the way that the music mimics the emotion of the characters.
Yeah, do you know what though? The love, going back to the love theme, was quite, I mean, credit to Ben Baird, who did the sound mix as well, and Simon, because whilst they were doing the edit, I think one of you or both of you said that it needs a theme, a love theme.
Thank you.
then had to go away and think, oh God, I have to think of themes and stuff. And suddenly it actually all fell in place. It was like, oh, there's the Benjamin theme, there's the love theme. And I don't know, suddenly got my head around what it meant to make a soundtrack. Do you know what I mean? It was because it was completely blagging it, if I'm being completely honest. You know, but...
What?
Yeah, like, sorry.
You said you got awards.
For other things, for football and...
I like Walk to Dumplings as well.
Walk to Dumplings is a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's one of my... Yeah, it's a good title, that, as well.
Yeah, it was that was fun, coming up with the titles for you. They didn't have titles until we were releasing the soundtrack.
It didn't look right, did it? Just Dumplings originally, so it had to...
Yeah.
It still was a bit weird.
It's still a bit Walk to Dumplings. I don't think if you look on Spotify, there's another Walk to Dumplings.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
In the film, obviously, the character of Noah, is it Phoenix? Is that how you say it?
Phoenix.
Yeah. He has to be able to sing, obviously. Yeah. So was that part of the audition process for him and finding the right person to play him?
It was, but he was so good. I might have just cast him even if he couldn't sing. Yeah. He was just so amazing, so natural, so free.
Yeah.
When we did the audition, he came in for a chemistry read with Colin. And all the other actors, all the English actors, he's French, who came in, when the script said, you know, he takes his top off and they begin to kiss, they all just mimed it, all the other actors. And they were good actors, but they were very English about it. And he just pulled all his clothes off, and I thought, this is the guy.
Fired! No, fired! Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy. And then it turned out he had this very husky, beautiful voice. Not like a perfect, I don't know, it's not like a trained voice.
No.
But it was like, it was like... appropriate for the level of band that he was in. He's in a student band, and he's such a good actor. You just feel everything that he's saying, and you feel like it, even if you don't know exactly what the song means, you feel like it means something to him.
Give me something I can be. Give me someone I can feel more than delight. I don't want to look at me. There's something with me that I won't forget tonight. Give me something I can be. Just give me someone I can feel more than this light. I don't wanna look at me. There's something with me that I won't forget tonight. I'll be your toy. I'm not the boy you think you want in your life. I can be yours. I can be anything at all. I'd be your toy. I'm not the boy you think you want in your life. I can be yours. I will be anything at all.
Nice to watch your songs being performed by a kind of other band and people as well. Is that a sort of weird experience?
That's weird for you, right?
Out of body experience. Yeah. It's good. I don't know. Weird. I have written songs for other people before, so it's not. I'm not unused to this.
Yeah.
But I'm working with the singer. Phoenix was the most interesting and fun because, you know, he turned up in the morning and he'd been out all night the night before and he'd been smoking all morning, Gauloises, and like, oh, this is classic singer, you know, behaviour. I've been there, you know what I mean? It's like, this is like a mini version of me, like 10 years ago. And so he started singing and he just couldn't do it. And I just thought, oh, Phoenix, so can you just not smoke for the next hour or two? So he didn't. And then he sang like an angel. Or like a not like an angel, but just sang with character.
Yeah.
A French angel. A French hell's angel.
I want to know. I want to know who you thought I would be. Where did you go when you were trying to be here with me? And you know that you're safe on your own, but you're lost. What were you lost with me too? Ooh. Are you longing to be scared forever? Are you planning to meet somebody new? If you're feeling something, say how you feel. You know it's safe to let someone hold you. Let somebody make you cry. Let somebody ache for you. Let somebody ache for you. Are you longing to be scared forever? Are you planning to meet somebody new? If you're feeling something, say how you feel. You know it's safe to let someone hold you. Are you longing to be scared forever? Are you planning to meet somebody new? If you're feeling something, say how you feel. You know it's safe to let someone love you.
Can we talk about Colin though as well and casting him? Because, oh my God, it's so good. He's his comic timing, his... I love when people aren't in a rush and he just has this perfect pace to how he delivers and how he's in this character as well. Was it immediate for you that he was the person to be Benjamin?
Yes, and I didn't quite trust it. He was so good. It took me about another month to confirm him because I just couldn't... I just felt like, well, it can't be that easy. This guy just comes in and is brilliantly naturally funny and makes me care so much for the character, and there's nothing inauthentic about him. I didn't quite believe it. I thought, well, maybe we need to see another 100 people. And in the end, it was just, you know, he was the first person I met, and he was just, I mean, he's so good. It was such a relief, because there was a point where I thought I might have to do it myself, because I don't know if I'll be able to find somebody who can, you know, the rhythms are kind of my comedy rhythms.
Yeah,
and
it's you,
know,
you on screen.
It's kind of me, but luckily he has this Irish accent, so it's not too me.
It's you with Irish accent. Basically.
And also he has some pecs, and so that's slightly different. And what else is different?
Why did you not want to do it?
Oh, because I wanted to direct. And I just feel, once I did Carnage for the BBC, I felt so comfortable in the director's chair and working with the actors, and it was so satisfying. I thought, there's no need for me. My ego doesn't need that as well. Written and directed by it is enough.
Which thing you are, Bradley Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Much, yeah. Come on.
I can't do it.
Has Klaxons or music been used in many films?
Yeah, I'd say yeah, but actually I don't know for sure.
Yeah. My ear has heard it, yeah. You know, in terms of out of context of just it being music.
I know I got an email like a year ago saying that, can we use the cover of the first album in the new film about the Beatles?
Oh, yeah.
The new...
Richard Curtis.
Yeah.
Is it called Yesterday?
Yesterday, isn't it? Yeah. So the cover's been in it, but maybe not the music. Okay. But I've had other bits of... like Shot Machine stuff and other bits in TV series or...
And you did this amazing thing with Tom Rowland as well. You worked with Tom for Joe's thing.
That was amazing fun.
Which I never got the chance to see, the life of Galileo at Young Vic.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
I mean, that was crazy. It was just... it was this incredible play called Life of Galileo, written by Bertolt Brecht, and Tom Rowland was doing the sound, the music to it. And then I got a call up saying, hey, James, we've got 6 pages of Bertolt Brecht lyrics that need a song to be written around. These are like incredibly, none of them, they're beautiful words, but they're not rhythmical. You don't look at it and say that's a song. Mm-hmm. So I had to go around to Tom's house and then wrote this song using these words, and then went to the first rehearsal where everyone sat around the table, all the actors were all meeting for the first time, and everyone's reading the script. And then it stopped to my bit, and Joe, the writer, the director, said, okay, James, now do the song. So then I had to sing this kind of 7-minute song in front of a load of actors I'd never met before. And then they all clapped, which was very sweet. And then I had to teach this actor the song and then go to all the rehearsals and all the kind of... It was so fun. It was something I'd love to do more of. I actually love working, on a day-to-day... Just watching something come alive from the script, similarly to what Simon's just done with Benjamin. But, it's, you know, theatre and film is... quite different process.
You must be really thrilled with the response the film's had, because obviously it was London Film Festival and got an amazing response there. You must be excited that it's finally getting out to theatrical release all over the country.
Yeah. At the London Film Festival, that was the first time we'd seen it with an audience, and it was such a relief.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they don't laugh, then you're insane to have thought this was a good idea. Like, 5 years of writing and trying to get the funding and then casting and making the whole thing and, like, the weeks and weeks of editing. And then, thankfully, not just laughter, these other noises that made me think, oh, they really care. They really care for this character. Yeah. Yeah, and then the Q&A afterwards went very well. Even though none of the questions made any sense, but people had a lovely time. And now it's going to be released in actual cinemas, like an actual film. And here we are talking to you on an actual film podcast.
Well, it's like it must be the experience that you hope for that kind of leads on to more things. Are you thinking about the next project? Have you written it? Have you got ideas?
What have I got so far? I've got a script that doesn't quite work yet. And hopefully it will in time. I mean, Benjamin took a long time to write. And I think what happens, because I write from such a personal place, I end up, I didn't know what Benjamin's journey was going to be until I finished it myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this new character, I'm not sure what the solution is to their problem yet. Because I think I'm still experiencing some of it.
Oh man, I mean, I loved Grandma's House as well. We've spoken about that. It was so good. And I think that writing from that honesty is the connection that I think people get with what you do. So be it stand up, be it from what you've written so far and stuff. Can we talk a bit about your journey as film fans and where music has resonated with you individually as kind of film fans, where the music's really stood out or been as important as kind of what's happening visually for you? You've made notes.
I made a list this morning because I was worried. I was worried you'd ask this question. I wouldn't have an answer about films and their various soundtracks, because I sort of drew a blank. And then I went to my cupboard full of CDs that I bought in my youth, and I've got loads of soundtracks on CDs. I love soundtracks. It turns out
amazing.
So here's what I bought.
I can't wait for this.
It's different ages at different times, but Almost Famous. That's obviously a brilliant soundtrack.
Be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag, so we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner pies and walked off to look for America. I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for
not Danny Boyle's favourite film of his, but many great songs.
All Saints.
Yes,
William on the Shore.
Pure Shore.
One of the, classic.
Yeah.
That whole kind of, all the sort of rave stuff that was
rave
in that
stuff,
as well,
amazing.
Was brilliant.
Yeah.
Moby's Porcelain is on that.
I actually love that film.
I
remember going to Koh Phangan after seeing that film.
I went to Thailand after seeing that film.
Did you know that, really?
Yes.
We should go together.
I remember that. What was that? Come on.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yes.
Thank you.
said that they're remaking The Beach, the first one. I don't know if that's fact.
That's not a fact.
It's not a fact.
No one. Why would anyone do that?
Or Beach 2.
Oh, that's
Alex Garland writing it, because he obviously...
Oh, he'd have
to. Is there a sequel book to The Beach?
I don't know.
No, there's a Tesseract. But I don't know if...
All right. Well, anyway. It's a good rumour to start. Romeo and Juliet, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Roman.
I mean, some of these might just be films that Leonardo DiCaprio is in. but that's got some great songs in it.
Always when we fight, I try to make you laugh. Till everything's forgotten, I know you hate that.
That was a great soundtrack. Amazing. That was a great score. Childhood. Do you remember the film Cruel Intentions?
Yes.
Yeah.
I found that so sexy and exciting. I just wanted to spend more time with Ryan Felipe, I think, and so got the soundtrack. Yeah. And I think I bought a jumper very similar to his, and that was about 3 months of my life.
Amazing.
Do you want to go dancing in the club? We could have a good time and live it up. Said if you want to go dancing, you got to wear a tuxedo. And we could do the tango wherever we go. Said if you wanna do the tango, then we're gonna need a ballroom. So she took me by the hand and led me to her bedroom. And then she did it, stripped me half naked, and told me that her body was sacred. She said I could take it if I danced with her, but somehow I knew that she was an Indian giver. I said, what about tomorrow? She said, what about tonight? She said, trust me, baby, it'll be alright, it'll be alright.
Oh, South Park, Bigger, Longer and Uncut. That's a funny one.
Soundtrack. Yeah.
Salty Balls.
Yes.
Which we did the bad parenting thing of letting the kids hear that over Christmas.
Oh, isn't that fine?
I mean, they're taking it in as a certain level.
I think you're a great parent. That's what I'm assuming. These are a bit more recent. The Virgin Suicides.
Thank you.
and that score is beautiful.
Yes.
I bought that on CD.
Wow.
Well, the interesting thing about the Virgin Suicides is obviously Air.
Yeah.
That kind of my thing of a director using, yeah, you know, someone who's, yeah, been in a band and that kind of idea of.
Yes, and the other, Harold, I think we watched Harold
and Maude.
Oh, I love that!
Yeah.
Because early on, there was actually, I was going to do a soundtrack.
Get high, get
Yeah. There was the idea of actually doing the whole soundtrack sung a la Harold and Maude, you know, but I soon nixed that idea. I was like, nah.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. 'Cause there's a million things to be, you know that there are. And if you want to live high, live high. And if you want to live low, live low. 'Cause there's a million ways to go, you know that there are. What you want, the opportunities are, and if you find a new way, you can do it today, you can make it all true, and you can make it undo, you see, ah, it's easy, ah, you only need to know. Well, if you want to say yes, say yes. And if you want to say no, say no. 'Cause there's a million ways to go. You know that there are.
Is the bonus track still on the soundtrack?
I think so. There's a track. Yeah, there's a bonus track. That
Across the Sea.
Yeah, which I wrote for one of the scenes. But then when I scrapped the idea of singing on every song, we kept as a bonus. Because it kind of made sense as the last song as well.
Yeah. James wrote this beautiful song called Across the Sea, which didn't fit really anywhere in the film. But it was just there, and you said you didn't want it for anything else in your life. So
it wouldn't make sense to anything else I do, really. So it was just like so specific to this film this time. So
it's beautiful. Obviously, you can't not mention Vanessa Carlton. Yeah. Why Vanessa Carlton?
I've always loved that introduction.
Yeah, same. I want to be able to play it. Can you play it?
Well, I had to. No, I couldn't. I had to get someone else to play that bit. Because that was the one bit I tried, and I couldn't do it. I know, I probably could eventually get that, but there was... It's a good...
Yeah, so I just thought it'd be funny, that scene where the piano lesson happens, if Benjamin Arsenal were to do the Vanessa Carlton song. After this really beautiful moment. Yeah. It's like, could you just do the Vanessa Carlton? Yeah. All right.
Downtown, walking fast, faces pass and I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the crowd. And I need you, and I miss you. Now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time went past me by? Oh, 'cause you know I'd walk 1,000 miles. I can just see you tonight. I don't wanna let you know.
Some of those songs that you mentioned from those soundtracks, so do you think of the film? Does the film sort of flash in front of you?
Yes, I think so. And I bought that was very stuttery there. You doing any other week?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that what you just said made me think of the last film soundtrack that I actually bought, and I hadn't bought anything for a long time, was the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack.
Oh my God.
And it was just because I wanted to still be there.
Be there, film, yeah.
I would have bought anything that they'd released. If they'd have had action figures, I would have bought action figures. I heard at some point they were selling the house that it was filmed in.
Same.
I thought I heard a bit more money.
They'd go and look at the and thought we could do a crowdfund.
Yeah. That's a fit.
But yeah, that I Have Loved You for the First Time, Visions of Gideon.
It's amazing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I have loved you for the last time. Is it a video? Is it a video? I have touched you for the last time. Is it a video? Is it a video? For laughter, I flew up to your arms. Is it a video? Is it a video? For the love, for laughter, I flew up to your arms. Is it a video? Is it a video? Is it a video?
We spoke to Luca Guadagnino about Call Me By Your Name, and he's quite sort of, you know, about it. He doesn't sort of realise how it's connected, like, as a separate thing, you know, in terms of it almost does allow you to stay with these characters and be with them for kind of longer.
So amazing. I actually, even last year, I love A Bigger Splash as well, the film before that. And we ended up going and staying on the island in Pantelleria where he filmed it because of that film. Do you know what I mean? So
amazing.
Yeah, it was just like... That looked amazing. I probably wanted to be back in that film. Well, not dead in the pool.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is the guy who is the pool cleaner in that film is the pool cleaner in that film. So I'd see him all the time.
Oh, wow. Weird.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
What about films for you?
What soundtrack?
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm reading my daughter these E.T. books. They've re-released... They're like books of films. So they have the E.T. book, which is kind of, you know, the film in book version.
Wow.
So you get to the bit where E.T. is just about to fly, and I just hear... I'm reading the book, but I'm hearing the John Williams soundtrack in my head. So, you know, it's all of those John Williams films, obviously. You can't separate them from the picture. Yeah. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And then more current, I love Nicholas Britell. I think his Moonlight, again, going back, actually, which I tried to have in mind when doing Benjamin soundtrack, was that it's not using music all the time. It's just clever use of music. So, you know, Moonlight, it's not all the time. It's just, it's used in really, really good ways. And similarly, The Succession, I don't know if you've seen that TV.
Oh, no.
Is the new... Is it Adam McKay, the director of Vice? And he's done a TV series called Succession, which is kind of roughly based on the Murdoch kind of empire. And Nicholas Britell's done the soundtrack to that, and I think that's the theme is amazing. It feels like a hip-hop track, classical hip-hop track. It sounds very current and interesting.
He used to be in a hip-hop band when he was
Are you kidding?
Nicholas.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the beat sounds like it sounds like classical hip-hop. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Of taking this journey into composing for film, really, is that something you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to any work.
Email me,
weirdly, since I left Klaxons, I seem to be doing lots of interesting things, which is good for me, obviously. But I'm, you know, I always want to do, you know, music. I don't know, you call it pop music these days, whatever it is, I do just 3-minute songs, you know, or 4-minute songs. But I like, you know, like doing bits of theatre. I've got a project that might happen next year. And then Simon and I are talking about something which I probably shouldn't even mention. I don't know, because it's so early.
Is that another Indian meal?
No, it's just so early. It might not. Who knows?
Yeah. Don't mention it.
Yeah, I won't mention it.
I couldn't even remember what you were talking about.
No, exactly. No, it was.
Should we come back in five years?
5 years? Maybe 10. It's quite. It's like make it 10.
Well, I hope it doesn't take that long for me to try to meet you.
Yeah.
Listen, congratulations on Benjamin. It really is brilliant. I think it's such a great film, and I wish you all success with it. And thanks for your time. Cheers.
Thanks,
Thank
Edith.
You. Thank you.
Score to Benjamin, that's Real Boy, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with Simon Amstow and James Wrighton. My huge thanks to Simon and James for taking the time to talk to us. It really was a lot of fun. Benjamin is on general release now, and I absolutely love it and implore you to go and see it. Oh, yes, James's wife got a few mentions during the interview, and if you don't know who she is, I will refer you to your favourite search engine. On that note, follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. We are at Soundtracking UK. And don't forget to claim your free case of craft beer by heading to beer52.com/soundtracking. You won't be disappointed. Next up, it's fair to say I fell a little bit in love with our next guest, writer and director Jordan Peele. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then. Thank you.